Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge introduces incredible stories shared by women across the globe who have experienced the great heights of success and, at times, the agony of defeat. With a vision to impart wisdom and advice on how to tackle barriers and soar to new heights, the show uncovers different perspectives to help you find your inner strength and to power up your own voice so you can excel in life.
I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. Welcome to Women Worldwide. I want to kick off this episode with a focus on your health, nutrition, and well-being. Have you ever been to the doctor to be told that you're fine, but you still feel horrible and your symptoms persist? You know, that's happened to me, family members, friends. I'm a firm believer that you have to listen to your body and be more aware of nutritional health. And sometimes it takes this kind of awareness and even changes in your own lifestyle to get to a root cause of a health problem. So my special guest today is an expert in this area. Her name is Holly Thompson, and she has a really interesting story to tell about her journey as a certified holistic health coach and a nutritional health professional. Holly's also the author of the book, Discover Your Nutritional Style, Your Seasonal Plan for a Healthy, Happy, and Delicious Life. She's the former VP for Chanel and the founder of Nutritional Style, a health and nutrition blog and consulting company. Holly's here to share her story. Holly, it's such a pleasure to have you on my show. Welcome.
Thank you, Deirdre. It's so great to be here.
Well, let's get started on your journey. So you actually started to feel sick. You were suffering from migraines and allergies, and then you made your way to health and becoming a certified holistic health coach and an author. Maybe you can share a little bit about your road to good health.
Sure. Well, I had, you know, I was basically like most people, I was living my life thinking I was pretty healthy, but would go down. Like, you know, a few times every year I would get a flu or a cold and would have sinus infections, whatever, and would go to the doctor and get some medicine and feel better. And, you know, my life was sort of that way. And then when I left, I sort of jumped off the fast track. I was on a fast track in New York City and working, as you said, for, you know, for a major fashion company. And I jumped off the fast track and I moved to a different environment. I moved to, a rural environment. And it triggered a lot of changes in my body. And I think that sometimes when we change environments and sometimes when we change our lifestyle, like it can kick things, certain things in, and that's certainly what happened to me. And all of a sudden I started to get like searing migraines, like just from out of the blue. They were really horrible. I had no idea what they were. I mean, they were that painful, and I'd never had a migraine in my life. And it began with actually an episode of dehydration that kicked me into this, my first migraine, which I'll never forget. But I had to be hospitalized. It was that intense. I thought I was dying. And I remember my new husband at the time, he was just terrified and, you know, had to go off in an ambulance and was in and out of hospitalization that summer several times when the pain became too unbearable to even be in my home, you know, where it was just scary and all I could do.
So you couldn't
just
even function. It was to the point where you couldn't do anything.
Could not function. Really just thought I was dying. I mean, it was that extreme. And so that was sort of the beginning of this spiral that I entered into, which was allergic responses, chronic sinus, different, then it kind of segued into, autoimmune issues, infertility. You know, at the time we were trying to get pregnant and I had several miscarriages. And so then the hormone imbalance really then threw everything off. And, you know, before I knew it, I went through a few years of, you know, of a cycle of migraines, of allergies, of eventually ended up with fibromyalgia, like some pain, you know, some nodules for fibromyalgia that was never fully diagnosed, but there were some indications of it. And then mononucleosis. I mean, I broke into a viral rash one day. And during that time, I never felt fully well. Like, I never felt fully energized and recovered, you know, like I would be very tentative in between these bouts of whatever they were. And during this time, I would also get sick a lot, you know, like I was getting colds and I would get like kind of, you know, flus or like just a basic fatigue, which I, you know, eventually learned was the mono, but which happens, when your immunity is that compromised, something like mononucleosis can certainly emerge. And so it was just these few years of never feeling great. And it was actually, you know, it was a humbling experience, but it was also a scary time where, you know, I was young and I thought, well, why is this happening to me? What is going on? And, so it was scary, you know, it was kind of scary. And every time, you know, I think I shared this with you once before, which is, you know, how we started this whole thing. But every time I would go to a doctor, the doctor would give me a different pill or a different medication or a spray or, you know, and I was living on antibiotics, nothing against antibiotics and medications, you know, they definitely have their place. But for me, that was happening. Like it was masking these symptoms. And finally, one day I woke up and I said, you know what? I need a holistic approach because I am taking so many pills and sprays and I don't want my life to be like this. Like I need to know why this is happening, not just that it's happening and how to treat the symptom, but I need to know why this is happening, what is going on and what changed. And so that was my big moment when I decided to go back to, you know, I'd always been a student of nutrition. I mean, like my whole life, you know, informally, I was always like the friend who everybody would come to and say, oh, have you heard about this? And what do you think about this? And, you know, and when it came to food and nutrition and diets and so I turned back to that and basically, you know, just cleaned up my diet. It wasn't like I was eating a horrible diet full of processed food, but I knew that there were some foods in there that may have been the culprit. And I went back to, I started doing these superfood packed smoothies in the morning, you know, and this was a long time ago. This was before anybody was doing smoothies. Yeah. And, you know, I was making these gorgeous smoothies in the morning and just putting everything in there and went to see a holistic nutritionist that basically compounded some different supplementation for me to help build my immunity up and cleaned up my diet, went completely organic. And I was pretty much organic before that, but 100% organic, farm to table, did all my own cooking and just really worked at, you know, food being my medicine, right? And that was how I viewed it. And you know what? I improved and I gradually over the next year to two to three, you know, lost the weight and got healthy. And I'm happy to tell you, I have not, this was, oh my gosh, how many years ago was this? This was about 13, 14 years ago. And I'm happy to say I've not had a migraine since then, since
those
couple of years of going through that spiral, and seeing every doctor known to man, I have not. And what I did was I removed some inflammatory foods from my diet. I discovered that I had a dairy intolerance. I had always known it at some level since I was a little kid. When I remember my first memory of having an ice cream sundae, I was lying in bed, writhing in pain and crying, you know, three or four years old. And, you know, at that time, I mean, my family my parents never considered, oh, she has a problem with the ice cream, you know, just so they just thought it was the sugar, but it was indeed the dairy. And so, removed things like that from my diet, eventually removed gluten from my diet. And then I went back to school and decided that I needed to share what I had learned and how profound food is to our ultimate health and the huge change that it can make. And went back to school to get certified for this so that I could work with others and teach others, you know, what I had learned.
That's an amazing story. And I wonder how many people out there go through feeling sick and their immune system breaking down, and whether it's you changing your environment or, you know, whatever it is, and not really thinking that it could be the foods I'm eating and that there are alternative ways of handling things other than sprays and pills. So you do have a really important story. And is that why you wrote Discover Your Nutritional Style? What were you trying to get across the most through your book?
Oh, gosh. You know, it's very challenging for, you know, a publisher to come to you and say, you know, share your story, because there's so much that you want to say. That was a challenge. But basically, you know, in my book, I start with the things that I know to be true for everyone, and no matter who you are, because this concept of nutritional style is my way of saying that we are all unique, and that there is such a thing as bio-individuality, and that what is right for me is probably not right for you, Deirdre, or not right for, you know, even my sister or my best friend. So, but there are certain things that are across the board, that are meaningful across the board. And so I started with that. I started with, you know, it's food, not religion. And let's all take a deep breath here, because people get so crazy about their food. And, and then I named the different, I call them the bad boys of nutrition. And it's the different foods I just named a couple of them that are inflammatory and problematic for many people and most people. And a lot of people, you know, this is the one that a lot of people don't want to face, that a food could actually have the far reaching effects that it does, or that I just told you about, you know, in my case, that it did for me. It absolutely did. And so I start with naming, you know, what those things are, and things like, you know, like soy, like gluten, like dairy, things that you should learn about. Are they right for you? Or are they not right for you? You know, then things that across the board are not good for anybody. I call them the serial killers, like, you know, GMOs, pesticides, and talk a lot about how our pesticide use in this country has increased, oh my God, like hundreds of times over since the 1960s. You know, we didn't use pesticides, you know, your great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents' day, the early part of the 20th century, we weren't using pesticides. And so we are now, you know, the pesticide use is now so rampant, and that is something that our bodies have to deal with, and not everyone's, you know, not everyone's body is as efficient in dealing with it. And it also taxes our systems when we have to get rid of pesticides in our, you know, that we are ingesting. And so it takes away from the limited resources that our body has to do its good work, right? To build a strong immunity and keep us looking young and feeling fabulous. So these are the reasons, you know, these are the reasons why, but yeah, so I start with that and then go into the different nutritional styles as I see them from working with people for years and years and having clients come to me, and generally they fall into one of three categories. A healthy omnivore is somebody who does well with, you know, animal proteins. The flexible vegetarian is someone who does really well with, like, eating a pretty traditional vegetarian diet. So they might do well with, you know, grains and beans and maybe an occasional fish or egg, depending on their preference, but you know, more of a classic, what you would think of as a vegetarian diet. And then the modern vegan diet, which is tends to be pretty plant-based, fair amount of raw food, you know, and they would generally not have any animal proteins.
I think I mentioned to you that I have three vegans in the family. So I've certainly learned a lot about the plant-based diet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it can be, you know, it can be a great diet for a lot of people, but it can also not be the right fit for many people. I have been vegan, you know, I've been vegan for years in my life. I was a raw vegan for 2 years, which is kind of unbelievable when I look back on that. And I'm not vegan now. I like in the past year, for example, I think I shared this with you when I went through a time of great stress, my husband passed away, where I needed animal protein. My body was craving animal protein at night for dinner, and I didn't question it. You know, I had it. It sustained me. I needed that strengthening. And then there was another time when I had an infection that had actually grabbed hold, and my body couldn't have any animal proteins at all. It needed to eat very lightly and only plant-based protein. So it, you know, that's where I've evolved to that after years of listening to my body and learning how to do that. And kind of, you know, I like to think that I've removed the noise, you know, like in that I don't eat processed food and a lot of inflammatory addictive foods and white sugars and things like that, that I think tend to create cravings and make it problematic for you to tune in to what your body really wants and needs. And because I've had years of not having those foods on a regular basis, I'm not saying I don't occasionally at all, but you know, on a regular basis, I feel that my body speaks to me. And that's what a lot of the people that I work with, a lot of my clients come to that point as well, where all of a sudden you can tune into your nutritional style and the way that you're supposed to be eating. I have a lot of people who have tried the vegan diet and it hasn't worked, you know, like they've ended up with not doing it correctly. Right. And having it, doing it in a balanced way. So
you've evolved. That's really important. So if you evolve to, you know, listening to your body, it's over time. How does somebody, if you want to take those first few steps, is there anything that someone can do that's maybe not advanced, but just to go in the right direction, knowing that they might have a problem?
Absolutely. So, you know, one of the first things that I would do, first of all, working with a health coach is a great idea. Like having somebody, it's like anything else, like having somebody partner with you to take a look at what you're actually eating and kind of punch holes in it and figure out the foods that might be problematic for you. I mean, that is what health coaches and holistic nutritionists do, and they're really good at it. And that's how I work with people. It's like anything else. You know, if you are having serious mental issues, or if you are, you know, you would go to a therapist or psychologist or psychiatrist. If you're sick, you go to the doctor. If you need help with your foods, it's smart. It's a smart thing to do. If you want to start on your own, you know, I would say get a great book, start learning about which foods are problematic. I'll tell you right now, I've mentioned some of them, but one is sugar. You know, having white sugar in your diet is addictive. So it's going to create cravings. It's going to create a need for more sugar every day. And sugar is inflammatory. So one of the buzzwords in what I do is inflammation. Inflammation is the root cause of most of the horrible diseases that are out there. It's also the root cause of some of the minor things that plague a lot of people, like joint pain, or even acne, or problems with your skin, or anxiety. You know, inflammation can be the root cause of a lot of different minor things. And then eventually work, you know, can work into some of the major things. There's a lot of research being done right now on cancer in this area, heart disease. So the less inflammation, the better. Something like sugar is inflammatory. Take a look at that. Take a look, you know, do you still have soft drinks in your diet? Do you still have sodas? I mean, and if you do, get them out. If they contain sugar or if they contain artificial sweeteners, you know, these are in my book as the bad boys and the serial killers. Take a look at the inflammatory food groups. Dairy is inflammatory in a lot of people. A lot of women in particular, I will tell you, come to me and they can't lose the last 10 pounds or so. And every day they're having like kind of that cheese, that like, you know, appetizer time.
Cocktail hour. Right,
exactly.
Cheese, wine, crackers.
So it's like the wine and cheese alone will easily keep an extra 10 pounds or so on you, because it's, you know, it's a combination of yeast and sugar and dairy, all of which are addictive to your body and creates cravings for more. So that's a big one that I can say, you know, so many women that come to me, I can say, okay, like, you know, how are we going to wean you off of this? And sometimes it's better to do a weaning process rather than a cold turkey.
Well, that's really interesting. I mean, we all hear about the, and you know, what inflammation and how bad it is, but certainly didn't realize that sugar was a part of that. Good stuff, Holly. I've been chatting with my special guest, Holly Thompson, and in the next episode, Holly will share tips on managing stress, whether you're a busy executive, young professional, or college student. And I also want to take a moment to mention that this episode of Women Worldwide is brought to you by FreshBooks, the really easy-to-use cloud accounting software. I actually learned about FreshBooks years ago in 2009 when I wrote about them in my book, Putting the Public Back in Public Relations. You know, when you're a business owner, you face your share of challenges, not to mention during tax season, which we all went through, it's so important to have your records and reports extremely organized. So for all of you in business, or maybe you're aspiring to be in business, FreshBooks has some great tools and the customer support to help you. Here's what I like about FreshBooks. Their accounting software helps you fly through all of those annoying admin tasks and paperwork that you really don't like to do, and we say we don't have time for, but we have to find the time as we're building our empires. So don't let the word accounting scare you. FreshBooks is actually made for creative types who really don't like dealing with the numbers. It takes about 30 seconds to create and send a really professional looking invoice that you can add your own logo and color scheme so it can be branded, and you can get your clients to pay online. When they have online options, you're going to get paid more quickly. And FreshBooks can even show you when a client looks at your invoice. So no more, oh, I didn't receive that invoice, can you send it again? You're actually going to know. Two other really important points. Customer support, you're always going to get a human. And FreshBooks handles your time tracking. So you get your accounting and time tracking together. We all know that time equals money, so you want to make sure you know where your time and your money goes. And here's something really special for you. FreshBooks is offering a free month to Women Worldwide listeners. Right now, you don't need a credit card. You can go claim your free month at freshbooks.com/women and enter Women Worldwide in the How Did You Hear About Us section, so they know we sent you. So you can sign up today, get your free month at freshbooks.com/women.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Segment 2 is coming right up.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communications and innovative technology. Pure Performance Communications works with businesses to move their audiences from interest to action, giving you a roadmap that fosters deeper engagement and forges stronger relationships along the way. Visit us at pureperformance.com. Thank you.
Now, back to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge.
I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. Welcome back to the show, where author Holly Thompson and I were just discussing her book, Discover Your Nutritional Style. So, Holly, we certainly covered a lot. Your story is fascinating, how you went from not feeling well, diving into, you know, your own nutritional health, and then now you're helping others. We know that nutrition and health are often tied to stress and how we manage that stress. So maybe you can offer some tips for the executive who has a crazy busy schedule.
Yeah, boy, you know, meet all of my clients. Who doesn't? So I, right? I mean, I am actually doing a program right now with our U.S. Congress, Deirdre, and it's very exciting. I'm going to be in D.C. in 2 days to do a workshop. And it's part of a series. Yeah, it's really fun, and it's part of a series that I've been doing since early last summer. And a lot of what I have talked to them about is this very topic, because I don't think there's anyone more stressed than our Congress. They barely have time to eat, and they have all of my gratitude and sympathy, believe me, because it is really something. But let's talk a little bit about that. I mean, one of the big things that I think a lot of executives, I mean, well, two things that they don't, that are challenging for them to do. One is to eat well, and the other is to add movement to their day. Right? Both of which are the two big integral pieces of our, you know, of our healthy lifestyle and living a good life and managing stress. So let's start with movement. Any kind of movement, any kind of fitness has a huge part in managing stress. Stress is inflammatory, right? We just finished talking about inflammation. We don't want inflammation. We want to get rid of inflammation at all costs. So stress creates inflammation. It creates anxiety. It affects your heart. It affects basically every system in your body. And so we want to work on managing our stress. Getting some kind of movement in, whether it be getting up early to do a walk, whether it be walking, you know, wearing comfortable shoes and walking around your office, whether it be walking out, even if it's 20 to 30 minutes at lunchtime to, you know, walk around the block, pick something up and come back. I know for crazy busy executives, it can sound like forever and it can seem impossible. But what I would do is try to look at those that are above you, okay? Without fail, and maybe you have some example, but without fail, I know a lot of powerful CEOs. I know a lot of heads of companies and successful men and women. And let's just talk about, you know, that for our Congress, the President of the United States. These people are making time to exercise. I have yet to meet one who doesn't, right?
Yeah.
Because they have discovered that in order to be an effective leader, that this is part of what they need to do. And this is something that I have observed since my corporate days when I was in New York in fashion and at Chanel and at Tiffany. You know, I looked above me. Like when I was, you know, I was a kid starting, I was like, okay, what are they doing? And I watched how the president of my company and the senior vice presidents were living their lives. So let that be your inspiration. You know, become, you know, they always say dress for the position you want in life as a corporate person. Well, I say, you know, take on their healthy habits too. Take on that fitness piece that 99% of the ones that I know do. I mean, I have women friends that are successful entrepreneurs and successful CEOs. They are making the time. They are carving out the time. And a lot of my clients fall into this category. So carve out the time somehow, whether it be getting up early, taking a break at lunchtime, you know, finding a gym near your house. I personally think it's tough at night, but if you're the kind of person, if you're a night owl and you gear up at night, then go ahead and do it. The other thing is, to make your food a priority and not just eat what's there. And this is actually something that I said to Congress in January, and it was quoted on when they did a reel of what, you know, our entire this week presentation that we did. That was one of the main quotes where I said, don't just eat what's there. Like, food is like anything else in your life. You don't just accept what someone gives you in any place in your life. So why do you accept food? Why are you accepting the fact that, you know, it's a board meeting and the only thing that you know they're going to have are going to be big, big rolls with a little bit of processed chemical meat inside, you know? So if that's what you know there is going to be there and you know you're going to be hungry, then plan ahead. bring something from home or go out and grab some takeout. I mean, there are, I can guarantee you, whoever you are and wherever you are, I can help you find a way to do this because that's what I do. It just takes a little bit of time to make that preparation.
What about if you're traveling? Because I know when I travel, sometimes it's so hard to, you know, find the right foods. And you do suffer after you eat something. It could keep you up at night. So what do you recommend if you're, let's say, in a restaurant, if you're constantly eating out and you're with your colleagues? What do you do?
Yeah. So I don't, you know, I almost feel that traveling is easier because you are in restaurants. You know, in today's world, unless you are going, and even if you're going overseas, I've worked with clients who travel all the time. If you're going to an urban center, food has improved in the last five or six years. You can find a salad and you can find some kind of, you know, quality salmon or vegetables no matter where you go. I always travel with breakfast, so I will bring a shaker cup and a protein packet that even if I only have a bottled water, I can add to that, and I know that I've had a protein breakfast that's healthy. So I generally will travel with that. Sometimes I might, you know, if I want to order maybe a grapefruit or some fruit, or if I know the eggs are farm fresh eggs, you know, a lot of hotels now, and they're springing up everywhere, healthy hotels that offer organic options. And, you know, and I think it's great. I think the more we do a little bit of research for where we're going and find these places and give them, you know, support them, the more that will happen. So basically it's just, again, a little bit of preparation, you know, figure out what it is that you can bring with you, bring some healthy bars, you know, rather than eat a bad airline meal, I will travel with a couple of healthy protein bars and maybe some snacks. And you know what? It's not ideal, but I'm also, so what if I'm on a plane for 6 hours and I don't have a big hot meal? You know, I'll live,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
And I'll feel better than eating whatever it is, you know, the plain lasagna or the rubber chicken. But again,
the famous,
you know,
rubber
again,
chicken.
The famous rubber chicken. But you know what? Again, Deirdre, a lot of airlines are getting savvier. A lot of airlines are offering healthy snacks and healthy choices. And I don't see it as being as challenging. 5 years ago, it absolutely was. Mm-hmm. Now, even if you're flying, you know, Virgin, or if you're flying JetBlue, even United had some, you know, even United, sorry for anyone who's from United, but some of the major... Yeah, and so some of them are bringing in healthier snacks, but get your own food. All of the airports now, every major airport is selling healthier snacks, grab and go, to take on a plane.
True.
So it's a mindset change that you can make, and without saying, oh God, I'm traveling, it's all going to go down the tubes. No. Just take a little bit of time and think through, okay, breakfast. What am I going to do for breakfast? See where you're staying. If the company's putting you at a hotel, Google what your choices are and decide, oh, okay, great. You know what? I can have that oatmeal every morning with, you know,
nice,
or
yeah,
I can have whatever. Oh wow, they have organic eggs. Or I can ask, you know, I can bring my shake and ask them to make me a smoothie. I mean, anything is possible. And I have been doing this since way before the rest of the world caught up to the way I eat.
So,
it just takes a little bit of time.
Mm-hmm. Is this the same for younger professionals and, you know, college students? You mentioned the, you know, make sure that you're eating well and the whole movement. Is that the same advice that you would give to our millennials?
You know, I find a huge portion of my tribe that follows me are millennials. And I think that millennials were raised raised with these values and this way of thinking, they place a high importance on health.
Yes.
and on their food. And they are the ones that are driving a lot of this, and they're the ones that are supporting this movement. So I'm very grateful to the late teens into their 20s because they are helping us change the landscape, and they do have the right values when it comes to health and the environment and good organic foods. I mean, I have several interns right now that want to work with me, and they're all at amazing top colleges in America, and they are just into this as a way of living. So and I think that millennials are a lot more savvy with technology, and so it's going to be a lot easier for them to Google, or to get in there and find out, okay, where are the cool places to eat? Where am I going to have a good meal? Where, how am I going to get it? Like, can I have juice delivered to my hotel when I get to Santa Monica? And, when I go to Chicago, where are the organic restaurants? And, or what does my hotel have? Or if I have a choice between these hotels, which one has the healthier options? And once you discover how great you feel when it becomes a lifestyle, you don't need to, you want to do this is basically the way you're going to live your life because you feel great, and it doesn't have to be delicious. That's a requirement. It better be good.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it sounds like young, old, doesn't matter, what your age is or what you're doing, but it's your mindset, and that you can really make it work for you. And that's why you wrote the book. It should be your own nutritional style. Mm-hmm. You know what? Last question. Where can people find out more about you, your work, and your book?
Thank you. I am at hollythompson.com. It's HollyThompson.com. And you will see a link to sign up for my weekly note, which is really fun. It's a lot of like a recipe every week, a good blog every week. It's going to give you tips for navigating different things like this weekend or coming up soon. We have one on navigating like spring parties, tailgates, and, basically how to do it and stay healthy and feel good, which is sort of my whole philosophy. Like, you have to have fun. You want to live a good life, but how do you do it while feeling fabulous? So hollythompson.com. My book is on Amazon. It's also at Barnes & Noble. It's called Discover Your Nutritional Style. My book is also on my website, and I will send you a signed copy if you buy it there, if you go to my website and go into shop. And I do offer one-on-one coaching on a limited basis. It's virtual. I work with people all over the world. So if anyone's listening, if any of this rang a bell for you, and if you feel like you'd like my expertise in there helping you figure out like what challenges you have and how we might make some tweaks in your diet and your way of living to help you heal or improve your health, I'm happy to do that. So that's all on my website as well.
Well, I hear many bells ringing out there, and I also know a lot of millennials who will sign up for your weekly note. So, Holly,
yes.
Thank you so much for coming on the show, sharing your journey, your insights about your book, How to Discover Your Nutritional Style. And you know what? We're going to have to check back with you to see what's new in nutrition and health, hopefully later in the year. So thank you.
Would love that. Would love that. Anytime. We barely scratched the surface, right?
I know. So, there's so much to talk about.
There is.
Great. Terrific.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. And I also want to thank FreshBooks for their special offer for Women Worldwide listeners. And a big thank you to all of you for tuning in. Until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge, brought to you by Pure Performance Communications on the socialnetworkstation.com. You can reach Pure Performance at www.pureperformancecom.com. Women Worldwide is produced by SNI, and the opinions of the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of Social Network Intermedia, LLC, or the Social Network Station.